Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. These are the conversations we have during the break about 80s bands. Depeche Mode, would you classify them as 80s or 90s?
80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny brought up Roxette and thought if you liked Depeche Mode, you'd like Roxette, but you waved that off real quick. You didn't like that.
No, don't like that at all.
Do you remember it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I know. I remember a bunch of those songs. Never liked them.
Okay. But you did like Depeche Mode.
Love Depeche Mode.
Aha. There you go. Take on Me.
I like that song, but I couldn't name another song.
I couldn't either, actually. One of the coolest videos of all time right there.
Yeah, and a fantastic song. Love Duran Duran.
Okay, good.
Ordinary World, I love it.
But early stuff like Hungry Like the Wolf and Rio.
Yeah, I like that, but not
Ordinary,
as much as...
Ordinary World, that was on the tail end.
Undone is one of my favorite songs. Duran Duran, Undone,
yeah.
And Ordinary World. Yeah, I like some of I like some of the earlier stuff, but...
New Moon on Monday.
Yeah. But I do like Duran Duran.
Okay.
Hate Flock of Seagulls.
Everybody hates Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, okay.
But so, usually everybody hates Depeche Mode, too. But
no, they don't. No.
Well, I know you and Tim.
Yeah. I would. Well, I could do a poll question. I think most people would say that they like Depeche Mode. 80%.
I would say 55%. Over, under 61.5.
Over. Johnny, over under 61.5% people liking Depeche Mode.
I will take the under on that.
I will go under as well, just slightly under, though.
Okay, I'm going to word the poll question. I'm going to leave a spot that says I just want to see because I don't know Depeche Mode. Because I think some people would just select it because they don't know who Depeche Mode is, right?
So no, they'll know who Depeche Mode is. Just say, and just don't give a bunch of answers. Just say, do you like Depeche Mode, yes or no?
Or want to see the answer, or want to see the poll. Because there's some people that don't know Depeche Mode, and they'll pick no just because you sway the vote.
Oh, if there's anybody swaying the vote, it's you.
That's not true. Okay, I'll put it together. It's going to be over 61.5.
All right. Hans and Scotty, earlier today, it was Joe Ingles making his weekly appearance with DJ and PK. A great story. Tim McMahon with a great insight and background on Joe Ingles, and DJ and PK started the conversation asking him about that piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I genuinely really don't care. I said it in the article with Tim, but everyone was telling me about this stat, and I'm like, I have no idea what this thing is. Like, so I did check it out. I tried to like Google it to see, and I still had no idea what it really meant. And then I still honestly don't really care. The only thing that made me laugh one time, I think it was last week, is it came up about when I was shooting from three, close to 50 or 49 or whatever it was, and I think it was a coach basically made a joke saying, well, it just shows that you're not shooting enough if you're shooting that good a percentage, like you need to shoot more. So I was like, all right, well, I'll try and shoot some more. So it is what it is. It's whatever, cool or whatever. People can write an article about it, get their clicks, but I couldn't care less.
So I get the not caring about the individual stat, but the fact is one of the reasons the team has such a good record is because they have so many people who are so efficient when they shoot the ball. I mean, you can do a bunch of things great in a game, but if you can't shoot the ball, that's what they give you the points for. That's how they decide who wins. And it doesn't matter if it's free throws, if it's stuff in the lane, if it's three-pointers, you are very efficient. So whichever coach told you, whether it's Quinn or one of the assistants who said, you need to shoot more because you're that efficient, they are 100% on target. But I also feel like watching you play, that message has been sinking in. You've probably heard a lot and you're absorbing it. Am I right?
For sure. And not a lot in a bad way, as in overdoing it or anything, but just being, I guess, aware of fact that I can be a bit more aggressive, obviously, with Mike and Donovan out too. There's 50 extra shots to take between those two. Just progress to being more assertive. The Spurs, for example, pick and roll going to my left to try and stop my drive going left. And that's why, I mean, I think I missed the first three or four or something, but coach was like, that's the shot you get. Like, so that first time out, it was like, all right, Rudy, set it a little bit lower, and I'm going to shoot it every time. And obviously, I feel like eventually, even if I miss a couple of them, I'm going to make some. So I just had to stick with it, I guess. And that's probably a little bit of the difference of in the past, probably not kind of more recently, but like earlier on in my career, if I missed those first couple, I was a lot more hesitant to keep firing them up. Where, regardless of percentages or field goals or like whatever these stats mean, I've just got to keep shooting the shots that are there for me to take. And obviously, I feel like the last couple of years, how good my shot has felt, I feel like at some point I'm going to make shots. So, just trying to be aggressive and aware of the situations that I can be aggressive and can get a shot. Because I think we saw that there was a few possessions even last night that we don't take some shots that are good shots because we're trying to get a better shot, but then we end up getting stuck in late clock. And I said it to Trent a couple of times, like Trent was almost getting, it was like him getting stuck with the ball with 5 seconds a bunch of times. So we've got to take the shots as a team when they're there. And as unselfish as we are, we've got to take, even though we think we can get a better shot sometimes, we've still got to be able to take those good shots.
So I think a lot of Jazz fans, because they've never won a title, they're scarred, and they think that if there's something that can go wrong, it will go wrong, and they worry about stuff. And now it seems like the latest worry is, oh, my gosh, things are going well, and guys are playing well. But what's going to happen when Conley and Mitchell get back? I mean, what's going to be able to be done to make sure everybody's playing at a high level? How much concern do you have about those guys being able to come back and jump right back into it?
Zero. That answer your question.
Yes, it does, and that's what I thought your answer would be. But I mean, I don't get why people worry.
Exactly. Let's not get it twisted. We won, I don't know how many games in the year before they, like, say before Donovan did his ankle. What was our record? Our record was like, I don't know, 40 something and 8 or 10 or 11 or something. Like, we won all those games with our full team. Like, I missed a couple. Mike might have missed a couple early on. I think Donovan missed one. I think out of anyone, I think I probably missed the most in that first, like, half of the year with the four games. I sat out with my Achilles. So let's not get it to it. Like, there's no magic potion that they're out and we're playing well. Like, we were playing probably better with those guys in our team. We've had to figure out different ways at the moment. Like, Trent's come in and played well. Different guys, JB, Jarrell's come in and played well. He's kind of swap minutes. Like, these guys have come in and played well, and I think that's a good thing for our group. If something does happen, knock on wood, later on in the year or in the playoffs, we've got guys that are confident to be able to come in and play meaningful minutes. I think Trent's probably the most obvious one to the eye because he's been out there with our main group for big stretches. But JC's had to take more responsibility. I'm playing basically full-time point guard except for when Trent's in the game, which is different for me. George starting it, he's played really well. Boyan's definitely kind of upped his level and probably just more his efficiency, taking the shots we wanted him to take early on in the year, and obviously also making them. But when those guys come back, it doesn't change. I mean, we've got two more pretty special players that are going to come in and be aggressive and play their games, and we'll all figure it out. I'll go back to the bench, and George will go back to the bench, and we'll kind of go back to how we were playing early on for that first kind of half, three quarters of the year.
You know, I thought there were a couple of really interesting things in that story that ESPN.com did on you and your true shooting percentage and all that. There were a couple nuggets in there. And one was you talked about a specific play that bugged you. A coach must have queued it up where Trevor Ariza was in the paint getting ready to take a charge, and they throw the ball to you, and your three-point shot at that point is so long and so slow that he's able to get all the way out and contest it. And you, your quote sounded like you were horrified. I mean, I read it. I didn't hear it. But having interviewed you enough here on your radio show, it just sounded like you were horrified, and there was a big motivator for you to change your game. Can you tell people how deep a dive and how detailed these individual film sessions are and how much some of this stuff sticks with you?
Yeah, it's almost like one of those things that you like go to bed thinking about, because I think it was my first year. It was early on in my career, probably my first year or two. And at that point, Trevor was probably in his prime, kind of late 20s, early 30s. And I just remember like whoever driving the ball and throwing it to me, and kind of in my mind, like, sweet, I'm going to get a nice, like, open look. And at that stage in my career, I wasn't probably shooting well, or I was barely shooting. So to get an open look was nice. And he was literally in the paint, and he contested the hell out of it, or he might have even blocked it. Like, it was one of those two things that, like, it was almost that welcome to the NBA of like, all right, like, I'm not going to get my shot off if I don't speed it up or kind of become more efficient with like the mechanics of catching it and getting it to my shot pocket and shooting it. And I mean, you break it down with coach, with your individual coach, and it's an emphasis, I guess, was an emphasis in my shooting sessions going forward of like, if I want to play here and I want to play well and I want to help the team and I want to stay on the court, I'm going to have to figure this out. And it's definitely a moment that has stuck with me because I still remember it to this day. But, yeah, I just had to, I guess, it opened my eyes to, like, oh, I'm going to have to put in the work to get in the gym and get my shot off quicker and figure it out. And I remember, like, also those first few sessions, like, you're missing a ton of shots because it's not that I changed my technique of my shot, but the speed of it needed to be, like, almost, like double the speed that it was. Like, we've talked about it here, but, like, catch it and kind of drop it down and then bring it back up. It was, like, almost to the point where I'm at now where, like, wherever I catch it, I need to shoot it from. So, it was a lot of time and effort and, kind of lonely nights or days, just kind of shooting and shooting and repetitive. And, but I obviously feel like it got me to the point where I'm at now, where if I catch it higher, I can shoot it from there. If I catch it lower, I feel like the speed from getting it from my hip, or even like there's been passes where they've kind of like got deflected and they bounce to you and they're almost rolling and you've got to like pick it up and shoot it from that position because of the shot clock. So any of those positions and time now, I feel like very confident that I can make the shot. But it's a process. I think everyone goes through it, whatever level you've played at. There's no more athletic or fast or whatever league in the world than the NBA. So if you're in the NBL, in college, in Europe, wherever you are, the speed is doubled or tripled or whatever it is. So everyone goes through it to a certain extent.
Yeah, and we've seen that, and we've that one where you catch it around the neck and be able to shoot it or even higher has really been a phenomenal progression and advancement in your game. I'm wondering about that finger roll that you had. I hadn't seen that or seen that many times. I mean, and it was against the Spurs, and I don't know if you knew of a guy named George Gervin who way back perfected that finger roll. Is that something you practice?
I have shot it before. I actually thought I was going to be like at the position I was. I was going to I was going to shoot a floater, and he kind of backed off even more than big. And I realized probably too late that he backed off, and I still could have shot a, obviously still could have shot a floater because nobody was there, but I just figured a layup's a bit easier and probably a higher percentage than going to shoot a floater. If you shoot a floater a little bit too long, it's coming off the back rim. At least if I lay it up, I've got the rim and the backboard to kind of let it roll around and hopefully drop in. So, I definitely wasn't planning to shoot that, but at last kind of split second, I realized he dropped off and I wanted to just make a shot, to be honest with you. So whatever I had to do for it to go in.
You also talked in that story about as you shorten the motion, and we've seen it, you can now catch a pass right on your forehead and shoot it in one quick motion. It is like the shortest, quickest, most efficient shot I could imagine. But I've also seen enough passes hit you in the forehead. I'm at the point I don't really believe that's an accident anymore. How much are your teammates dialed into all of this and aware of where you need the ball, and they're really precise with where they throw it?
Yeah, I mean, we've got little, like, I don't know, like sayings or jokes within the team, or coach, like coach, you guys know, coach comes up with like some crazy ass name for like everything. So there was one day that I don't know what point it was. It was probably, I'm assuming it was after a day we had like 30 turnovers and he was probably losing his mind and was 15 coffees deep at 5 a.m. and hadn't slept. And one of those days, and he came in talking about throwing strikes. Like if we want to be a good team, we want to obviously help our teammates out by passing the ball well for me to get Donovan a shot. And again, it goes back to a little bit of that is like the time that you have to actually shoot the ball. Like it's, if you get a bad pass, it could affect you actually being able to catch and shoot the ball. And we've got guys that catch and shoot the ball at a really high level. I don't know how what percentage anyone shoots or anything, but I know for a fact the way we shoot the ball at practice and in games, like we've got a team that can shoot the ball at a high clip. So if we throw strikes, then we're actually like we're obviously be able to shoot the ball and make the shot. So we put a lot of emphasis at. Granted, we haven't had many practices this year, but on throwing, like, so if it's 5-on-0. We'll be like scripting through some offense, going through what we want to run for the next game or whatever it is. And if you don't throw a strike and it's a bad pass, like we're redoing the offense. Like coach is making that group go again and like redo the whole, like the whole play or set or whatever we're doing. So, I mean, guys are dialed into it because we don't have a choice. Like coach is going to hold us accountable to it, which is good. And like even the players to a certain extent, like sometimes you think coach is overdoing it with some things or like does it make that big a difference or whatever, but it really does. And I think our guys dial into those things and we try and be as good as we can at them. I think like the turnovers is another one. Like we do have games of high turnover games and some of them it's like we are an unselfish team. We're going to move the ball. We're going to pass the ball. We're going to have more turnovers than other teams because we are unselfish. But it's the bad turnovers that hurt you the most. The ones where, like, I had one, like, I threw it to Rudy in transition and it bounced off his hip or whatever. Like, those ones, like, that was a bad one because, one, Rudy was running full speed and I threw it way too hard. But, that's just an example of a bad one. Like if you are driving under the hoop and trying to find Rudy late or trying to kick it out for a better shot or something like that, it's a different turnover to a live ball turnover, which gets them in transition. And then we're running back and we have to Euro foul or we're giving up an and-one because we're late on running back in defense. So we do take pride as a team on those little details. And I think it makes a difference. You can roll your eyes sometimes thinking coach is a little crazy, but he knows what he's talking about and our guys dial in on those things and try and do it when we can.
So this is a get what you need day for the Jazz, and Joe Ingles has everything that he could possibly need. What does he want or do on a get what you need day?
I literally just drove into the parking lot of the facility right now. I'm sitting in the car park. There's nobody else here. I think Mike Elliott's here.
than a couple of our trainers. So I dropped Jacob at school, came in, had to speak to you knuckleheads, and then, yeah, I'll just go in, get some recovery, get some treatment. For me, it's, especially with the guys out at the moment, just about the recovery and all that stuff. So, yeah, get some recovery in for the next probably couple of hours I'll be here, and then get home by lunchtime, have some lunch with Renee, and go pick up the kids from school later, probably take them to the park or out of the backyard or whatever, get in the sun, and that'll be about it. So a relaxing day for me.
American life for an Australian. I like it.
Trying to be as un-American as you know me. If there's going to be one person that's trying to stick to his roots of Australia, it's me.
There you go. That is Joe Ingles. You hear him every week right here on the Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, we're live here at my hearing center, 801-438-7058. That's the number to call right now, 801-438-7058. Let's get you hooked up and get you taken care of, man. If you're dealing with hearing loss, you know of somebody that's dealing with hearing loss, you've already had hearing aids or you think you might need them, or somebody you know and love might need them, now's the time to make that phone call. Let's get you going. Matt's hanging out with us. And, Matt, I mean, there's really no better time to get that free hearing evaluation.
You know, if I needed hearing aids or had a loved one that needed hearing aids, honestly, this is the time I would send them over and give a call. You know, whenever you get new technology, it's so much fun. The provider tries it a little bit harder because they want to make sure that it works. And then, you're going to have a little more touch points with the provider getting that feedback. And frankly, you know, if you have a family member or a friend that does have some hearing loss, it's a great time for an intervention.
Yeah.
Come in with them, sit down, talk about what's going on, and then it's, you know, low key, they get to have free hearing evaluation and they get to try the hearing aids for 30 days. Nothing better than that.
Who are some of the youngest individuals that you work with? What is their occupation? What's their background?
Oh man, I got 10,000 patients popping in my head all at one time. But
really?
To answer your first question, we do some pediatrics in Salt Lake area, but primarily we focus on adults 18 and over.
Okay.
That's where our specialty lies. The Tad Bergen, our doctor in Salt Lake, though, is just excellent with pediatrics, and would love to help anybody out. Say, I've actually taken both my kids over to get hearing tests over there, and it was a phenomenal experience for me to sit down with them to do that. We do, again, 18 and older. We do work with some teenagers that have hearing loss, more of a some of them have actually been sudden. Occupationally, we work across the gamut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my favorite patients that I work with are the construction workers, the drivers, the guys that are actually on, you know, in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
working hard every day, and they need to be able to hear for their safety reasons when that truck's backing up, or they need to hear for safety reasons the foreman calling out for them to do something. I love working with those guys because they just need it for their job so much. And then we do have a lot of business guys, a lot of sports enthusiasts that come in. They're active in the weekends, and when you get together with your guys, the last thing you want to do is not be a part of what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. And so getting them back involved is always fun. And then our older clientele, those that are retired, they're fun to work with on the fact of it seems like they're always traveling somewhere. So you get to come in here, and like we did earlier, you get to sit down and talk about some of the places that you've gone and where you're going next. And then when they come back, you know, one of my favorite stories is just this woman that's always wanted to go on a cruise. Family's been planning it forever, and she's like, I'm not going on this cruise. I can't hear anything. It's not going to be fun for me. They brought her in. When she came back, she sat down and mother said, listen, this was the best vacation I've ever had, and I fully attribute to getting hearing as my hearing center.
It's great.
801-438-7058. Take advantage of that free hearing evaluation. First 30 people to schedule that will be put into a drawing for a free set of new hearing aids. You may get these bad boys for free, and they are great. The Signia AX. Call right now, 801-438-7058, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Brian Abraham, USCFootball.com, joining us. Utah visits on October 9th. BYU visits on November 27th. Is there any juice for those games?
Less so for the BYU game. I mean, they were pretty upset to lose that game going on the road. But, I mean, the Utah one, USC fans circle it all the time. I think if they played BYU more, you'd get a little bit more of that. There'll be some kind of revenge factor or whatever. But I think USC fans know that if you're going to win the South, it's got to go through Utah. And, you know, winning the division for 2 years in a row, I think that got a lot of Trojan fans' attention. So I think the Utah one is the one they always look forward to because they know it's really important as far as trying to win the Pac-12.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview, or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Welcome on back. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Total Recall, Hans. Looking back on today's show, start with Kurt Heland. Talk about the Denver Nuggets, their big loss, and then we also follow up with what's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think Jokic is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. Like he has solidified his MVP case with the way he's played since the injury and the fact that they've won. But the other part of that is that they knew who they were. They've actually got some other playmakers, and Michael Porter Jr. has stepped up. I mean, we joked when it first happened, like, well, Michael Porter Jr. is not turning down the extra shots. He shouldn't, though. This aggressive Michael Porter Jr. is ultimately, if Denver's going to contend, they're not getting that third star by bringing in a free agent, right? Like, they're probably going to do it through Michael Porter Jr. developing into an all-star level player to go with Murray and Jokic. And that's still a young team. And I think that he is more and more looked like that guy. And that confidence really carries over. Well, fortunately for them, it carries over to next season because they're, unfortunately for them, you know, they're going to be without Murray for most, if not all, of next season as well.
Aaron Gordon's been an up-and-down addition. In the postseason, yeah. Does he help you more than he hurts you?
He helps. He'll help in that he's a veteran, but also he helps in certain matchups defensively. He's still a big body in a Western Conference where you could end up facing LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Not that he's going to lock them down. He's not a lockdown defender, but he is a pretty good defender, and they're just – 6'9" guys with his strength and athleticism there are not many of those. And so he just brings them a defensive presence that is really helpful if you're going to get out of the West. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to beat the Lakers and Clippers. And part of it is that their wings are matchup nightmares.
Kurt Heland right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone from NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. So a good friend of ours, he used to write for the Salt Lake Tribune, now with The Athletic and in Los Angeles, Bill Oram, tweeted out. He's the best. And Bill wrote a tweet about the current state of the Lakers and said that this season is heading towards an unmitigated disaster for the Los Angeles Lakers. That might be a bit extreme, but overall, what's the panic level in Los Angeles?
Overreaction from Laker fans? I've never heard of such a thing.
I know, right?
By their standards, this is, you know, the idea that they could – look, them falling to the seventh seed is very legitimate. LeBron is not playing in two big games. You know, they play the Clippers tonight. I'm going to that one. But then they play back-to-back against Portland in what's a really big game for that, you know, 5-6-7 seed group. They drop both of those, which is distinctly possible. And they fall, you know, they start slipping back. And they've got a lot of – even if LeBron comes back, they have a lot of back-to-backs left. And you just – you're not playing LeBron in a back-to-back at this point. You need him in the playoffs. So – they fall to seven, they probably get out of it. They probably win this as the seventh seed. But suddenly, they're going to have to go through, you know, maybe Utah, but probably Phoenix, who's a pretty good team. They can beat them. Well, let's not sleep on Phoenix. Like, they've won a lot of games for a reason. This is, you know, then they've got Chris Paul. This is a good team. Then they're going to have to play Clippers, Denver. Then they're going to have to play Utah. Like, the path through is brutal. And I don't know that they're up for that. I don't know that the depth is up for that. I don't know that they just haven't made this. There's not going to be a real easy path through the West, but they've made this a real gauntlet. And I don't know that they're up for it physically. And if the Lakers got bounced in the first round, that even the second round, I think in Los Angeles, that would be seen as an unmitigated disaster.
Have you heard any of the rumblings and some of the national pundits out there saying that there needs to be an asterisk next to this championship in this given year? And do you subscribe to that?
I hate asterisks. No, I wouldn't put one on the bubble either. Like, is it different? Like the bubble last year, was it different? Yeah. Were the challenges different than they will be this year, than they will be in every year? Yes. And this year is kind of the same, but I am not. It's different, but that doesn't make it any easier. It is still going to be incredibly hard to win a championship. Health is just being able to stay healthy. Well, a little bit luck is also just, I mean, Michael Jordan doesn't win six championships if he and Scottie Pippen don't stay healthy. Like, that actually factors into everything every year. So I'm not a fan of the concept of the asterisk. It's a different year, and it's going to take maybe a different challenge. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have to be mentally tough. You're still going to have to hit big shots. You're still going to have to adjust on the fly and be able to, you know, defend in multiple ways and all this other stuff that you have to do to win a championship. And that's not changing.
So there you go. Conversation with Kurt Helin, one of our favorites. And again, if you missed any of the conversations throughout the day today, everything's up on the website at 1280thezone.com, as well as our podcast platforms. All you have to do is go to Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you use. Just search Hans and Scotty, and you can get every moment of every show right there in podcast form. All right, final segment coming up next. Hans and Scotty, it's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Different athletes have wanted parts of the franchise before.
Didn't you get 15 points in your semi-pro hockey team? Didn't you get 15% of that club?
No, I didn't. No. But I was, I don't want to get into
it. What was the name of the goalie you had on that team there, Gordon?
Well, for a couple of years, it was Bill Puxley. But, you know, then we've parted ways. I haven't really kept up with him.
Bill Puxley. Man, he could really stop that puck.
Not to be confused with the right-winger John Ice Nettington.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, wrapping up another edition of the show. Been a fun show today. Been a fun week. Coming up tomorrow, Friday edition of the show, should be a good one.
Really fun show. I am so curious. It's the finish to this NBA season has been as intriguing as any finish. And yeah, I do think that the race to be the one seed is really interesting. I think the dynamics of how much emphasis do you put into achieving the one seed is an intriguing conversation. But with the knowledge and the thought that the Utah Jazz are going to be healthy, that Donovan Mitchell will be back, that Mike Conley will be back, that Bojan Bogdanovic has definitely found his stroke and his confidence, feels like he can lead the team if a given night calls for it, that Jordan Clarkson, you know, he has showed some streaky nature through the 10 games that Donovan Mitchell's been out and through the 5 games that both Donovan and Mike Conley have been out. But last night showed that he still has the ability to just light it up from every area when that's asked of him as the sixth man. And then the thoughts of Joe Ingles getting more minutes and feeling more comfortable with starting minutes or more comfortable with bench minutes, what's ever required of him. Man, this Jazz team is loaded to the gills. they're loaded. Best defender in the league, best sixth man in the league, best coach in the league. Your two best guards are all stars. They're going to be back. And if you can't get excited and think that they don't have a shooter's chance in this whole thing, then I don't know what to do with you, because this team is intriguing.
It's exciting stuff. It really is.
When they get Donovan and Mike back.
Watch out.
Because you're finding that stride now without them. That Phoenix loss is one thing. I get it. And Phoenix came in to try to prove a point. And they did. They proved a point without Donovan and Conley on the court. And, yeah, they were missing. Who were they missing that night? Didn't they sit somebody? Or did they have a full-loaded roster on the court? Maybe they did.
I can't remember.
But they wanted to prove a point, and they did it.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for us. Game tomorrow should be a fun one. We'll break it down. We'll also get you ready for the weekend coming up tomorrow as well. Should be a busy show on tap for a Friday edition of the show. This week's flown by, too, by the way.
It has. It's been a quick week, but it's just been fun, man. A lot of good whole world news stories. Wait for tomorrow. I'm saving this other birth story for you tomorrow. You're going to be shocked.
Really?
Oh, shocked.
So do you ever you don't watch The Bachelor? I don't think your wife watches The Bachelor.
No.
But the guy at the end of every Bachelor is like, "Now join us next week for the most dramatic Bachelor ever
rose ceremony."
Yeah, the most dramatic rose ceremony in Bachelor history. I'm like, no, it's not. Stop it. You can't say that about every show.
Okay, so today's whole world news was a woman that had a baby on an airplane that didn't realize she was pregnant. That airplane had three NICU nurses and a doctor on it, and they saved this baby that was born at 29 months. Like, that's an incredible story.
29 weeks. 29 months would be a while.
29 months. No, it was a 29-month-old baby. It was carried for over 2 years, unknowingly. You got Gary Coleman popping out. Hey! Hey, everybody.
I'm back.
I'm
here. Oh, my gosh.
What you talking about, Willis?
Man, it's cold out here.
No, that didn't happen. But tomorrow's story is even more shocking than that.
Wow. Tomorrow, folks, gather around the radio. It's going to be crazy. All right. Hey, we've been live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. They've got the brand new Signia AX up for grabs. It can be yours. You can actually win a set of these hearing aids. All you have to do is be one of the first 30 people to call. So we'll give you another 10, 15 minutes to call. 801-438-7058. You set yourself up for a free evaluation for those hearing aids. And we will give away a free set to one of those 30 people that have called in throughout the course of the show. 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058.
Call and get on this list. You could be entered to win. You're going to be one of 30 to win the hearing aids. And I really want to express to you how great an opportunity this is. If you've ever experienced hearing loss, call 801-438-7058. What did you say, 10, 15 more minutes?
We'll give you about 10 or 15 minutes on that. But you got to call right now, 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.